Introduction. The secret of joy is the mastery of pain. Anais Nin. Are you searching for the secrets to mastering pain? Well, I'm glad you're listening to my book because I'm here to help. Thanks to neuroscience and the growing recognition of mind-body medicine, our understanding of the nature of pain has changed greatly in recent years. Pain is elusive. Many people have a difficult time describing it. We feel it in the physical body, but the pain trigger is often hidden deeper within. We feel pain, but we can't always see or touch it. It defies our senses. It often eludes MRI scans and X-rays. Why? Current science shows us that pain is largely a construct of our minds, and without that influence, we actually don't experience pain. For example, patients with dementia, who previously experienced chronic pain, will eventually stop experiencing symptoms because they're no longer aware of the pain. We separate pain into two general categories. Acute pain is present for less than 3 to 6 months and is quite different from chronic pain, which usually lasts longer than 6 months. Studies confirm that these are entirely different conditions, requiring vastly different approaches. The good news is that while pain is unavoidable, we have built-in bodily mechanisms designed to reduce or eliminate pain. We just have to learn how to operate the controls. Importantly, the brain loves information. Since pain occurs in the brain, it's critical to understand the role that learning plays in the new approaches to treatment. That's one of the goals of this book. In Chapter 1, you'll learn about the different types of pain and why it sometimes hurts to be human. Then in Chapters 2 through 5, you'll explore how the brain perceives and modulates pain, as well as what happens in the brain and nervous system when things are not going well and we're stressed and afraid. In so many words, pain and stress are flip sides of the same coin. The brain and nervous system cannot distinguish between the two. The very same biochemical, hormonal, and immune functions take place in both states. This is what neuroscience is continually demonstrating and proving. This is also what yoga and mindfulness-based stress reduction programs have asserted for decades. In chapters 6 through 8, we'll explore how to release and let go of pain, as well as explore various treatment options and ways to improve your habits and achieve wellness. The conclusion of the book will address the transformational aspects of pain and how understanding pain can help you become more self-aware and improve your overall health. We live in a chaotic world full of challenges that sometimes throw us off kilter. Our ability to maintain a balance in our lives is the key to health and happiness. But not all stress is bad for us. Some stress motivates us to focus and perform better. We call this eustress. It requires us to consciously make physiological and behavioral changes that balance the effects of our autonomic nervous system, which is the master control center of stress in the body. You'll learn much more about this phenomenon in the first half of the book. When stress is short-term and we're able to adapt and cope well with the challenge at hand, we feel excited. This positive mental and emotional state is brought about by the release of feel-good chemicals in the brain and nervous system, such as endorphins, oxytocin, serotonin, and dopamine. This positive experience of stress expands our sense of mastery. Being able to adapt, change, and cope with both our internal and external environments is called allostasis. It allows us to find a sense of inner balance, comfort, and calm, often referred to as homeostasis, or the wisdom of the body. These optimal states of function help our bodily systems work as a healthy, integrated whole. Humming is the word that comes to mind. Our mind and body become synced, and in that state of harmony, we start to hum or vibrate at a certain frequency. This complex process of positive adaptation occurs on all levels, from our tiniest cells to our largest organs to everything in between. It even leads to changes in the brain that allow us to rewire old pain pathways. These positive changes in how the brain works can have tremendous benefits. We are electrical beings with energy coursing constantly through our heart, brain, and nervous system. This synchronization process occurs when the various parts of our electrical system are coherent and working together. Learning how to make this happen consciously is how we outsmart our pain. This specific phenomenon will be fleshed out in Chapter 3. Unfortunately, when we get sucked into the vortex of work, life, and relationship stressors, we fail to adapt effectively, thus triggering a series of compensatory behaviors that create additional stress. Once this state of imbalance reaches a tipping point, we feel stress in the form of increased muscle tension and pain. This is simply called distress. However, stressors are not always the result of external situations or events. Thoughts, feelings, desires, and habitual patterns of behavior, as well as compensatory postures and movement patterns, also cause distress. Simple things that we don't often recognize can trigger old pain pathways or grooves in the brain that plunge us into distress. This makes finding and rooting out the pain generator even more challenging. Chapter 4 will address pain as a habit. Functional MRI, fMRI, scans have come a long way in identifying the different parts of the brain that process pain, but there's still no way to recognize these triggers clearly. We still need to piece together what's happening, both in our environments and in our emotional lives, that may be throwing us out of balance, leading to stress and causing us to feel pain. Here's the key. Stress usually manifests itself in ways that we may not identify as stress. We might experience any number of symptoms, such as tension headache, low back pain, stiff neck, high blood pressure, and more. Unfortunately, there are no stress detectors that we can employ beyond those in our own bodies. As such, it behooves us all to become more aware of how stress affects us. How we feel is completely unique to each individual. There's really no way to objectively measure one's pain. It's a personal experience that's partly hardwired into us from our past experiences, as my own struggle with chronic pain demonstrates. It was a beautiful sunny day in May, the time of the year in the South when the weather is warm and balmy. My two young children and I had climbed aboard a friend's 22-foot Sea Ray bow rider for an afternoon boating trip on Broad Bay in Virginia Beach. As we steamed toward the channel leading to the Chesapeake Bay, without warning, the boat accelerated and suddenly struck a sandbar. At that exact moment, I was moving from the back of the boat to the bow. Having already experienced momentum going forward on impact, I went airborne like a cannonball. As I was flying through the air, I had the sense to grab onto the cleats at the front of the boat, preventing any tumultuous collision into the water. Instead, I smacked headfirst onto the hard fiberglass of the bow of the boat, suffering what is called a hyperflexion injury of my neck. The heavy impact forcibly bent my neck down into my chest, causing severe compression of my spine. When the boat came to a stop, and still dazed from the trauma, I looked down into about 10 inches of pristine water, the sandy bottom visible below. Within days of the trauma, the pain in my neck and arm escalated, and I began to experience intense muscle spasms. After a week, I developed a burning sensation on the tops of both hands, with pain radiating down my arms. Every time I lifted something heavy, my left arm would start to shake uncontrollably. Determined to heal myself, I took it easy, using medication to decrease my traumatized nerve endings and experimenting with traction and neck exercises. Nothing worked. By the second month, I couldn't walk a straight line or even have an orgasm. I woke up nightly with intense left arm pain. At this point, I sought help. An MRI showed that I had severely herniated the cervical C5-C6 disc in my neck. It was compressing my spinal cord as well as the left C6 nerve. I needed immediate surgery. Although the surgery initially seemed to go well, as I returned to work 3 weeks later, the pain persisted. After seeing each of my patients, I would go into my office and lay down on the floor to rest my neck. My staff would walk into my office to check on me, surprised to find me on the floor. After waiting several months, I realized that some of the persistent pain was coming from injured neck ligaments. I sought out treatment with prolotherapy injections. Since I was the only physician doing prolotherapy at that time in my area, I had to travel 3 hours so that a colleague could treat me. After 7 prolotherapy injection sessions, I started to feel better. However, I still had left arm pain, weakness, and shaking when I would lift anything heavy. As I started to feel better, I started incorporating low-level Pilates and yoga, but I was limited by my left arm dysfunction. I was still miserable. A second MRI revealed that the disc above and below C5-6 had also herniated and there was a bone spur poking into my left C6 nerve. The MRI also explained why I had developed an unusual condition called ossification of the posterior longitudinal ligament, OPLL, which can occur after severe spinal trauma. This meant that as a result of the trauma, the deepest stabilizing ligaments that run up and down the inside of the spinal canal, both in front and behind, had calcified and thickened. These adjacent thickened ligaments, along with the herniated discs, were now causing more spinal cord and nerve compression. I needed additional surgery. My search led me to a second surgeon with expertise in minimally invasive spinal surgery. After this successful second neck surgery, I slowly started to recapture my life again. The process of recovery had taken nearly 10 years. I also realized that in order to fully heal and achieve real wellness, I needed to find better balance in my life. To me, that meant not working as much as I had in the past and taking better care of myself, both body and mind. Of course, this is a process that I still work on every day. I have experienced firsthand the common internal sources of distress resulting from pain, including fear, worries about the future, repetitive thought patterns, and unrealistic expectations we have about ourselves, often referred to as perfectionism. In this book, I'll guide you through an exploration of how and why stress and fear cause pain. You will learn about the different kinds of stress and why they matter. You'll also explore how your mental and emotional responses strongly influence what happens in your body, all the way down to your smallest cells and even your DNA. Then, I'll explain how stressors and traumas, both present and from your past, can repeatedly trigger the nervous system to form pain spirals called neural pathways, which perpetuate pain until you learn to consciously stop them. The first half of the book reviews how stress and pain can become a habit. It will also explore how some of us, through the process of over-identification with pain, become attached or addicted to it. It becomes the central theme of some people's personal stories. As best-selling author and teacher Carolyn Mace describes, your biography becomes your biology. In the second half of the book, I'll discuss a variety of pain treatments for both acute and chronic pain. Then, I will explore how healthy lifestyle habits, such as sleep and nutrition, can reduce inflammation caused by our nervous system running amok, thereby preventing pain from becoming chronic. The final chapters are about how pain can be our greatest teacher, prompting us to learn challenging lessons that can only be mastered when we have felt enough pain and suffering that we finally summon the courage to change and seek a more conscious alternative. This process of transforming suffering into something better is a key element of healing. By releasing our attachment to our pain and letting go of our conditioned responses, pain loses its power over us. It is then we outsmart our pain. As a board-certified physician in practice for over 30 years, I have had a lifelong fascination with the human body and mind and their immense interconnectedness. I have been an athlete for most of my life, but my own injury and subsequent difficulties dealing with it ignited my curiosity to understand why we hurt and how we can truly heal. Practicing in the field of medicine called physiatry, physical medicine and rehabilitation, has helped me to develop a unique perspective about pain and human nature. I continue to learn many lessons about pain from my patients, lessons that will hopefully help many more people heal and thrive. Following my residency training, I continued to seek a deeper understanding of pain and effective pain treatments. Early in my career, I learned osteopathy, which helped me better understand how the body works on a mechanical level. Then I studied interventional pain management and acupuncture. I was also introduced to a variety of mind-body therapies along my journey, but the importance of these was reinforced as I experienced from my own recovery from chronic pain. Today, I incorporate these techniques with my patients on a regular basis. My professional and personal quest continues to this day. In my medical practice, I embrace many different methods, modalities, and techniques, including osteopathic manipulation, as well as modern interventional pain techniques such as epidural injections, joint and soft tissue injections, radiofrequency ablation, and regenerative medicine, which includes prolotherapy, growth factor injections, signaling proteins, PRP, platelet-rich plasma, bone marrow-derived stem cells, and fat grafting. These regenerative therapies have proven to be highly effective in treating early to moderate stage degenerative joint disease as well as stubborn tendon and bursa issues. These treatment modalities will be further explored in Chapter 7. More recently, I have embraced an innovative field of medical study called functional medicine, which seeks unique solutions to complex medical problems using a systems biology approach. The scientific foundation of this paradigm centers on the dynamic interrelationship of how all our separate parts connect to the larger whole and how interdependent our organs really are. As an example, many people are unaware that the vast majority of nervous system and immune system function are located in the gut. This is not new revelation. Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, asserted nearly 2,500 years ago that all disease starts in the gut. Conventional medicine is slowly coming to recognize this reality, but many doctors have not been adequately trained. A person with immune problems may end up consulting many different medical practitioners without recognizing that the underlying gut issues must be resolved for healing to occur. Also, the trend of doctors being so specialized makes it challenging to recognize the bigger picture, the interconnectedness of the body. Functional medicine is also important because it takes into account the connections between our mental, emotional, and physical well-being. In the case of outsmarting pain, I will teach you how the brain affects the body, and in turn, how the body affects the brain, often resulting in the experience of pain. To be healthy and in balance on a physical level, our system must orchestrate a complex matrix all the way down to the microscopic level. This matrix consists of trillions of cells, electrical impulses, molecules, hormones, organs, bones, and tissues. When this integrated process is working well, we can live in a healthy state of balance and be pain-free. Functional medicine teaches us that disease is not about our broken parts. Instead, it emphasizes that the devil is in the details of our life stories. These details give rich context to our lives and provide critical clues to understanding hidden patterns and triggers that result in stress, pain, and disease. Functional medicine also emphasizes the importance of understanding how our lifestyle and mindset influence our health in dramatic ways, as well as how prioritizing healthy habits is crucial to finding our ideal state of homeostasis. I have come to believe that the physician's role in treating pain is as a collaborator, a mentor, and a partner for change. We can help facilitate healing by introducing people to new modalities and new ideas of how to live and thrive. By opening your life to possibilities for renewal, free from pain, you'll ultimately learn self-love and acceptance. Liberated from the many stressors that used to plague you, you will be able to cope with the challenges of life and begin to transform and thrive. It's this process of self-awareness that gives us the power to connect the dots of our stories and our health. To get the most out of this book, I suggest you keep an open mind about what pain really is. I respectfully challenge you to consider the benefits of changing your habits of thought and movement, be open to emotional self-inquiry, and be willing to practice taking small steps forward on a consistent basis. Armed with this newfound wisdom, you will be able to effectively handle whatever life throws at you. It is my hope that this book will be a guide to ease you through your struggles, helping you to find balance and inner peace as you grow into the best, most unshakable version of you. Many of us spend our whole lives running from feeling, with the mistaken belief that we cannot bear the pain. But you have already borne the pain. What you have not done is feel all you are beyond that pain. Khalil Gibran.